This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I want to share with you all today the story of our Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, mentioned in the Quran in two places prominently. His name is mentioned in places in the Quran, in multiple places along with other prophets. His story is prominently mentioned in Surah Anbiya, Surah number 21, and Surah Sad, Surah 38. And his story and his life is actually a example for us, particularly for those of us who are going through a prolonged sickness. This is a time where a lot of people are sick. Maybe you know somebody who has contracted COVID-19. Maybe someone who is compromised in terms of their immune system is either highly likely to get sick or a higher chance of getting sick than normal. These are difficult times, and in difficult times, we can turn to the Book of Allah and find examples of prophets that went through something similar to what we are going through. We can find examples of prophets who went through something similar to what we're going through. And then from their example, we can learn how is it that we can get through the situation that we are in. For Ayyub alayhi salam, he went through the situation, the difficulty of a prolonged sickness. And his patience in this prolonged sickness was exemplary. He also alayhi salam went through this sickness in a very interesting way. So I'll detail all those points, inshallah ta'ala. First, I will read to you the ayah of the Quran where this is mentioned, inshallah ta'ala, from Surah Al-Anbiya. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍّ وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And remember Job, when he called on his Lord, saying, I have been afflicted with great distress, but you are the most merciful of the merciful. We heard his prayer and relieved his suffering. We restored to him his family, doubling their number as an act of our grace and as a reminder for the worshippers. This is the first time his story sequentially is mentioned in the Quran, and Surah number 21, Surah Anbiya. Now, what's interesting about this, a few points that are fascinating about this particular reference. This is a surah that was revealed earlier in the life of the Prophet, in the Meccan era of the life of the Prophet. And the Prophet at that point was facing adversity. He was facing persecution. He was facing rejection, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and outright animosity from people who used to be his close friends and family members. So he was going through a tough time in trying to make sense of the world and how the sudden change that has happened to him. How do you cope with that? That sounds familiar, because now, even though the circumstances are different, we are experiencing a sudden change in our world. All of a sudden, everything that was normal is no longer normal. The lifestyle we used to live, we no longer live. We're all, essentially, mostly all of us are in quarantine at our homes. The items that you could buy without blinking an eyelid, now you have to wait in line to get. I'm trying to buy some medicine for my kids, and I ordered it off Amazon. Amazon says we're going to ship it to you April 23rd, a whole month later, subhanAllah. Amazon ships stuff like overnight here in Canada. So everything is just gone out of whack. So this surah is, one of the purposes of the surah is to teach the Prophet ﷺ how to make sense of, how to understand, and then how to move forward when situations like that happen. That's one interesting point about Surah Al-Anbiya. The second interesting point about Surah Al-Anbiya is it is a surah that mentions prophets and the du'as of prophets. The prophets in difficulty as they are supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him for relief in their situations. This, for example, is highlighted right here, as you see with Ayyub alayhi salam, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. That's in وَذَنُّونِ. This is Yunus alayhi salam, Jonah, his dua, very famous dua, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That's highlighted in the story of Zachariah, إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ لَا تَذَرْنِي رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْضًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Lord, don't leave me heirless, and you are the best of heirs, meaning give me a child. All these prophets are mentioned in the moment of their dua, as they are beseeching Allah, as they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ayyub alayhi salam is mentioned in the same situation. He is beseeching Allah, asking Allah for his help. That is the lesson for us. That's the lesson, firstly, for the Prophet sallam, that in these times where everything is kind of thrown into chaos, you turn to Allah and ask him for strength, for guidance, for a way out. That is what the Prophet ﷺ was being taught, and is how he lived, ﷺ, constantly supplicating and connecting with his Lord. That is the lesson for us, very, very much so in these times, that we should become now, like, we should start making dua as hands, okay? Washing hands is our best defense to make sure that we don't get contracted or we don't contract COVID-19. Making dua just as fervently, just as with that much intensity. That's what we need to do. That's the lesson from this surah, okay? Overall, as a theme of this surah, Ayyub alayhi salam, other prophets in this surah, their example teaches us that in these times, we reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, the scholar of tafsir, a contemporary scholar from Saudi Arabia, he says that when Ayyub alayhi salam was asking Allah for help, he says, فَتَوَسَّلَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِالْإِخْبَارِ عَنْ حَالِ نَفْسِهِ وَأَنَّهُ بَلَغَ الدُّرْ مِنْهُ كُلَّ مَبْلَغْ. He says, when Ayyub alayhi salam is asking Allah for help, he does two things. Number one, he mentions to Allah his situation, how he is afflicted by how he's afflicted by calamity, how he is in a bad situation. He is sick. And then he says, the second thing he does, وَبِ رَحْمَةٍ وَبِ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ الْوَاسِعَ الْعَامَّ. And then he, the second thing he does in his dua is the mercy of Allah. He reaches out and asks Allah for his mercy, the expansive mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. So Allah responded to him. So two very interesting things here in the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam. O Allah, Rabbi, anni masani ad-dur. I am in a bad situation. Wa anta arhamur rahimin, and you are the most merciful of merciful. This is called at-tawassul. This is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His help, and seeking His help by mentioning our helplessness, and then seeking His help by mentioning His perfection. Both things Ayyub alayhi salam does, and that is the way we should make dua when we are sick, whatever situation we might be in, but particularly in this situation, considering somebody who is sick. We don't complain of our trials, of our tribulations to people. We try not to do that, because that becomes something of a it could venture over into ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we do is we complain to Allah. We turn to Allah. And the way we turn to and complain to Allah is through our dua. The Prophet ﷺ used to say that, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hili wa hawani ala nas. He would say, oh Allah, I complain to you about the weakness of my situation and the lack of power I have. This is in the time where the Prophet ﷺ was, expelled from Ta'if. Okay, he turned to Allah, complained to Allah of his weakness. That's what we do. We have the example of Prophet Ya'qub, alayhi salam, when he is he's grief-stricken. He's really, really sad. And his sadness, you can't just tell somebody who is sad to get over it with it or get on with it. It doesn't work that way. If a person has lost a child or they don't know where their child is, the child is lost and they have no news of this, you can't just say to them, okay, get over it, yallah, go on with your life. Sometimes you just can't, because the pain is just there. And Islam, we're taught to accept that this is a reality. People go through pain. People go through difficult situations. There's a natural reaction to it, which is crying. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem becomes when we start to pin that blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or become people who are pessimistic, or become people who complain and become frustrated in the way we deal with things outside, like other things, become very frustrated with them. That's where the problem is. That sadness, that grief, going over and crossing the boundary into something else, affecting other things. But the grief itself, if a person is afflicted by it, sometimes it takes years, and maybe at times a person never gets closure for it. But what is clear, what's important and what's clear is, we don't say something that is abhorrent, that is displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't let that incident define the rest of our lives. Ya'qub alayhi salam, was not like, if you read Surah Yusuf, he was very thankful to Allah. He was patient, and he would say, Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa la tay'asu min rawhillah. Don't despair of the mercy of Allah. This is a man who is dealing with his own grief, but he also knows that Allah's mercy is there, and we cannot be people who are despairing, become hopeless. Never. Okay, we remain as hopeful in Allah's mercy as we can be. But Yaqub alayhi salam noticed when he is in his tough situation, he says, "Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah." He says, "I complain of my pain and my grief to Allah. I don't complain to you people. I don't complain to other people. I don't make it a point that I say something that negatively affects my iman. But I complain to my Lord in my dua, that positively affects my iman. That makes my iman go up. That I don't say something to people that will make me lose hope in my situation. I say to Allah, and that gives me more hope about my situation. That is what we're taught, that we turn to Allah and we ask Allah in times of sickness. The dua, is one of the most amazing weapons that we have, one of the most amazing remedies that we have. And our Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam is teaching us that. He's teaching us to make dua by mentioning, by complaining to Allah about our weakness, about our sickness, and then seeking Allah's help by His perfection, by His majesty. That is one thing that we learn from the story of Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran as Ayyuba idh nada rabbahu. He's mentioned in the Quran as وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنُصْبٍ وَعَذَابٍ. This is in Surah number 38 that mention our servant Ayyub. Mention our servant Ayyub. If you look at the books of Tafsir, we have some very interesting background about who Ayyub alayhi salam was. We mentioned already how he's how Allah describes him dealing with the situation that he was in. But let's take a look at historically what is described of Ayyub alayhi salam. Ibn Abbas says, as narrated by or as reported by Al-Qurtubi, he says, "Summiya Ayyubu li'annahu aba ila Allahi ta'ala fi kulli hal." He says Ayyub is named as such because he would turn to Allah in all times. Aba is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a dua the Prophet used to make when he would come back from home. Ta'ibuna a'ibuna. We are coming back home and we are repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'ib or awab, also from the same root, is something that is described as a positive characteristic. Someone who turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Ayyub has in it that quality that he was very quick to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we notice that from his dua, how he was so, he beseeching Allah so passionately in that amazing dua. Al-Qurtubi says that Ayyub alayhi salam kana rajulan min ar-Rum dha malin Azim. He was from the Roman Empire, or he was, ethnically Roman. That is basically somebody who is, Caucasian. That is how they describe in the books of Hadith. He had lots of money, and he was a righteous man. كان برًا تقيًا رحيمًا بالمساكين. He was very good to the people who needed help, and he would take care of the orphans and the widows. He would honor his guests. And shakiran li an'amillah, he was a thankful person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then his life turned upside down. His life was rapidly changed. He was afflicted. Ma kana asabahu min al-bala, like Ibn Kathir says, that he was struck by a very difficult calamity. Fi malihi wa waladihi wa jasadihi. This is a person who had wealth and children and a healthy family, and he was healthy. He was wealthy, he had kids, and he was healthy. So he was afflicted in his wealth. He's lost his wealth. He was afflicted in his kids. As mentioned by Ibn Kathir and others, his children died. His children passed away. And then فَبْتُلِيَ ثُمَّ ابْتُلِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ. And then finally he was also afflicted in his health. And he was afflicted in his health, yuqalu bil judham, fi sa'iri badanihi, with a type of leprosy. Others mention that he was in a situation where his body was basically decaying. Like he became paralyzed and his body became just essentially starting to peel away. His skin, his flesh started to rot, and there's pus. All of that started to come. وَشْتَدَّ بِهِ الْبَلَاءِ is his trial became very severe. The order of events, some scholars mentioned that initially he lost his family and wealth and then his health. Some mentioned, like a Sa'di, that he became sick first and then his family passed away and then his wealth also deserted him. Whatever he owned, he started to lose his wealth as well, the value of his wealth. Irrespective of the order, the idea is a person goes from being healthy, wealthy, and having family to having nothing at all. And all that was left, وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْهُ سَلِيمٌ سِوَى قَلْبُهُ وَلِسَانُهُ, all that was left of him was his heart and his tongue. His heart in the sense of it was still beating normally, like physically, but also his heart spiritually. His spirits were good and his tongue was there. He was able to utilize, was able to speak, unable to move though. Okay? And that is the situation he found himself to be in. He was left with no one in his family, siwa zawjatuhu. The only person who was left with him was his wife, and she used to attend to him. She remained with him and tended to him. And as they were running out of money, she would go out and work for people. She would go and, you know, serve as a maid, cleaning people's homes, doing their chores. And then whatever she would earn from that, she would come and provide for Ayyub alayhi salam. Okay? This shows, by the way, that, you know, in these tough times, a couple has to stick together. We can't just give up on our family when they're in difficult times. This is like natural, something that's very logical. But also from the stories of the prophets, we know that like someone like Ayyub alayhi salam's wife stuck around with him and supported him. And she not just supported him, but provided for him in this difficult time. Also, we see from the Prophet salam, Khadija radiallahu anha was the first supporter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the first one to verify, yeah, you're right. You know, Allah will nakalla la yukhzik Allahu abadan. Allah will never disgrace you. She was the one who took him to Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the Christian monk, her cousin, explaining to him what has happened. And Waraqa verified to the Prophet ﷺ that this is actually Angel Jibreel. This is not some nightmare. You're not going through anything that is cause for concern. You are being chosen as a prophet, subhanallah. So this shows that the spouses have to stick together. And one of the things we're taught in the Quran is to make dua for that. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Our Lord, give us spouses that spouses and kids, our family, that is going to be qurrata ayun, that will make our eyes cool. This is an expression for someone crying tears of joy. Either when you see them, or when you think of them, or when you experience something from them, you don't cry tears of anguish, you cry tears of joy. Qurrata ayun, something that cools the eyes. And make us leaders for the righteous. This is the idea that we should make dua. This is something we should make dua for and beseech Allah for, because this is one of the greatest things a person can have, a family that will support them in their deen and in their dunya, in good times and in bad times. Now, Ibn Kathir says about Ayyub alayhi salam, he says, وَقَدْ كَانَ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ أَيُّوبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ غايةً في الصبر وبه يضرب المثل في ذلك. Ayyub alayhi salam is an example, or he's exemplary in displaying patience. And the example of people who should display patience, he is the one who represents that. Why is that? Number one, when he was afflicted by all of these calamities, when he was afflicted by losing his money, losing his children, that's no joke. That's one of the most difficult things a person can imagine going through. And then he also lost his own health. وَلَمْ يَبْقَ لَهُ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَنَ الذِّكْرِ. In that situation, as mentioned by Ibn Kathir, he continued to remember Allah, and in fact remembered Allah in a very beautiful way. أَحْسَنَ الذِّكْرِ. That is a sign of a righteous person, a person who, when the going gets tough, has the ability to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah is still my Lord. Allah will take care of me still, despite all that I'm going through. One about Ayyub alayhi salam, he showed how to live that. The Prophet told us that when we have something that's bad that happens to us, we say Alhamdulillah. When something good happens to us, we say Alhamdulillah. When something bad happens, we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from Allah, and we will return to Allah as well, meaning this is Allah's plan. Allah has something written for us, and we believe in that. Okay? And when something happens that we don't like, we say Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. All praises for Allah in all times and in all circumstances. So that is a number one thing that's mentioned about Ayyub alayhi salam, that even after he lost everything, he remembered Allah and thanked Allah and continued to do so. Despite his circumstances, and that is the level a person has transcended to a level of being or living with gratitude, and by default, de facto, being patient in a very beautiful way. Okay. Now, number two about his suffering was وَقَدْ رُوِيَ أَنَّهُ مَكَثَ فِي الْبَلَاءِ مُدَّةً طَبِيلًا. He remained sick for a long time. It was said that he was mentioned. It was mentioned that he was sick for seven years and some months. That is the opinion of Al-Hasan al-Basri. The others mentioned that he, like Wahb ibn Munabbih, said he was sick for 3 years. Others say that he was mentioned. He was sick for 17 years or 18 years. The exact figure is a matter of debate among the scholars of tafsir. But the point is, it was a long time. If you take the average and say it's 7 years, 8 years, and if you take the opinion of Hassan al-Basri here, that is still a really, really long time to be paralyzed, to be in a situation when you have, after having everything, you lost literally everything. And you remain in that state for 7 years. And while you remain in that state, you're still thankful to Allah. That is an incredible, incredible example of gratitude and patience. This was mentioned of how long he was. Suddi says that تساقط لحم أيوب حتى لم يبقى إلا العصب العظام. That the flesh of his body started to fall off because of the decayingness. Because of the decaying nature of his disease. So subhanAllah, it was a disease that paralyzed him, but also it was painful. It probably was a very difficult sight to see, yet he remained patient and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's narrated that his wife said, فَقَالَتْ لَهُمْ رَأَتُهُ لَمَّا طَالَ وَجُعُهُ. When his sickness was extended, it kept going on and on. She said, O Ayyub, ask Allah for relief. He said, I have lived 70 years صَحِيحًا قَدْ عِشْتُ سَبْعِينَ سَنَةً صَحِيحًا فَهَلْ قَلِيلٌ لِلَّهِ أَنْ أَصْبِرَ لَهُ سَبْعِينَ سَنَةً. Allahu Akbar. Look at the attitude. He says, for 70 years, Allah gave me good health. Is it too much for me to remain patient when Allah has tested me for 70 years? Right? This is an amazing expression of patience and understanding that there is a point of what is happening to us. Maybe you may not understand it right now, but Allah has wisdom. The most immediate of it is when we go through tough times and we're patient, that is a way for us to ascend in paradise. Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The people who are patient, Allah gives them their reward with no account. Meaning their reward is unlimited. Their patience is not bound by time. So their reward is not bound by anything either. And that's an incredible thing. We have the story of the woman who came to the Prophet and she said that I am afflicted by seizures. Ask Allah that I am, that he cures me. The Prophet said, well, I can make the dua. Or if you remain patient through this difficulty, Allah will give you Jannah as a result, as a consequence of that. She said, I'll choose Jannah. But just make dua that when I have seizure, my body does not get exposed. And the Prophet made dua for that. So the idea is we understand sickness to be something, not just an immediate thing, not just a worldly thing. We think of sicknesses and difficulties with this wide angle view, from the view of a dunya and akhirah. If a person is suffering and they're sick and extendedly they're sick, we believe that this person is ascending ranks in paradise. They're climbing the ranks to the highest levels of paradise as long as they remain patient. And if that sickness consumes them, inshallah, that may be the cause of them entering a very high level of paradise. That is how we see it. If that is the mindset of the believer who is sick, that would allow that person to be able to remain patient as they either work through their sickness, as they're treated through the sickness, and inshallah cured, or if that extends for a while, they remain patient and hopeful. That gives us that mindset of, this is all good. This is not all lost. There is something to be gained here while I'm sick. That's the mindset that the Quran gives us when it comes to understanding diseases particularly. The Prophet also instructed us, by the way, that every disease has a dawa, right? لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَى. So we seek the cure. We take the means, whatever we can. But we understand that as we are treating ourselves and finding the cure, the extending disease does not hold us back. It does not set us back in the sense of the world or the akhirah. It may actually propel us in the akhirah in ways that maybe other people can't be propelled. So we understand this. This is something that Ayyub alayhi salam teaches us. It's narrated in the books of tafsir, like Al-Qurtubi and others, this difficulty was not easy to bear, right? He was suffering extendedly. So, inna iblis ataha fi suratin tayyib. Inna iblis ataha fi suratin tabib. One day, the wife of Ayyub, she met a person who was a doctor, but in fact, that was Iblis disguised as a doctor. So Iblis said to the wife of Ayyub that your husband is sick, and if you want if he wants to, he can become better. Okay, how so? He should take just a dubab, a fly. Okay, and he should sacrifice it in the name of this particular idol. Bismi sanami bani fulan. And if he can do that, he will become better. Now, as humans, you know, in the suffering of Ayyub is so long, his wife is the one who is really bearing the burden along with her husband because she's working and supporting him and tending to him. Her life is also turned upside down completely. Here, it seems like a doctor is offering a solution to her. So she goes and tells her husband, hey, this is what I heard from a doctor, do you want to do it? And Ayyub alayhi salam recognized that this is something that's unacceptable. This is shirk. So he said, قَدْ أَتَاكِ الْخَبِيثِ. The wicked evil came to you. That, you know, this is someone who is not in thinking of our interests. This is someone who's trying to misguide us. And it won't do anything. Sacrificing this will not cure me in any way. And then he takes an oath. He says, اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ إِنْ بَرِئْتُ أَنْ أَجْلِدَكِ مِئَةَ جَلْدَ. He says that if I swear by Allah, if I become cured, I'm going to lash you 100 times. Okay? Now this is an interesting development. This happens when people are sick. This is a prophet of Allah. Okay, and now he has in a way made an error in judgment. Not the error in judgment of I have to like he went and did something that's unacceptable in Islam, like sacrificing to another god or idol. That's something that's completely unacceptable. But he perhaps lost his composure a little bit. And he at this moment took the oath that he is going to lash his wife 100 times. That is something, again, that's unacceptable. We're taught to be good to us, our spouses. The Prophet said, the best of you are khayarukum aw khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi. The best of you are those who are the best to their spouses. That's the person who has the best character. One who is good, you know, to the people outside that are strangers but terrible with their own family. That's not a good character. That's not a person who has praiseworthy characteristics. Perhaps this is a person who is living a double life, to be honest with you. So the Prophet ﷺ, and that's what we're taught in by the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So here perhaps there is a slip up from a man who is suffering and his disease is extended. And that happens. People who are sick, people who are in an extended period of difficulty, normally you will make mistakes. The chance of making mistakes in that situation is even higher. So we should be understanding of that. And that's not the end of the world, as we'll see. Now, the wife of Ayyub, she kept on supporting her husband. She kept working. But then stuff became tough for them. She wasn't able to find work anymore. People didn't need her services anymore. فَلَمَّا اشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهَا ذَلِكَ وَخَافَتَ عَلَى أَيُّوبَ الْجُوعِ حَلَقَتْ مِنْ شَعْرِهَا. Then when situation became tough, she wasn't able to find work. She's afraid that she can't provide for Ayyub. She shaved her head. Okay? Not the entire thing, but parts of her hair. And she would take that and she would sell her hair. She would sell her hair, get money, buy food, and take to Ayyub the food. Ayyub alayhi salam was, as she's bringing this food, he's noticing that this is perhaps something different is about this. So he would say, "Min ayna laki hadha?" And she would, you know, basically like answer by misdirecting, not telling him that she's shaving her head. You know, they would wear this thing called khimar. Khimar would be something that would be like a bandana that kind of covers the head, like a hijab of a way. And so she would wear like a hijab type, cloth on her head. So she could hide the fact that she's shaving parts of her hair. And then she continued to do that until basically she had to shave all of her head, selling her hair off for the sake of getting money to provide for Ayyub. And then eventually Ayyub alayhi salam recognized something is up, And he says, I'm not going to eat until you tell me exactly what you're doing. So she وضعت خمارها, and then she took off her khimar. And when he saw her, that he has she has sacrificed so much. She's even sacrificed her hair for him. He made the dua, أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين. Oh Allah, you are, a harm has touched me, and you are the one who is the most merciful of all people who have mercy. Subhanallah. This is it shows the struggle of the one who's struggling, right? The one who is caring for the sick. It shows that the one who is sick sometimes will say irrational things, will do irrational things, will make mistakes. That's just how it is. That's how we are as human beings. What happens at those moments should not define us. And the sacrifices one makes for another, that a wife makes for her husband, that a husband makes for her, for the wife, should not be glossed over, should not be forgotten. In fact, there should be commemorated, there should be, you know, celebrated by the couple, because this is something that shows true love. That shows true love and devotion to each other. Ayyub alayhi salam was patient, but the thing that made him ask Allah to bring the cure now was seeing his wife suffer. And suffer in the sense that she had nothing left. She couldn't work. She had to sell her hair. And that's what pushed him over the edge. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him. How did Allah cure Ayyub alayhi salam? He was cured. Urkud bi rijlik, hadha muqtasalun baridun wa sharab. Stamp your foot. Here is a cool water for you to drink and for you to wash in and drink. So he washed this himself with this water and he drank it. And that was a cause of cure for him. Ibn Abbas says, وَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ مَالَهُ وَوَلَدَهُ عَيَانًا وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. Okay. Ibn Abbas says that he was given his family and his wealth, عَيَانًا, the exact same ones. This means, according to some of the Mufassirin, that Allah brought his kids back to life and gave him, doubled his kids and doubled his money. This is the position that some of us have taken. Wallahu a'lam exactly what is Allah's what Allah did, but it is definitely within reason and possibility that Allah miraculously brought his kids that passed away back to life, returned them back to Ayyub alayhi salam. Wahab ibn Munabbih says that awha Allah ila Ayyub. He says, Allah revealed to Ayyub that I am going to return to you your family, your wealth, and I'm going to double for you your family and your wealth. فَاقْتَسِلْ بِهَذَا الْمَاءِ, take a bath with this water. فَإِنَّ فِيهِ شِفَاءُ, that is going to be your cure. Then that is what he did. Now, he had taken an oath. He had taken an oath that I am going to lash my wife 100 times. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is going to help him get out of this tricky situation, make up for the mistake that he made. وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ ضِغْثًا, take a handful of twigs, and فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ, and strike with that, but do not break your oath. So he took 100 pieces of wood, and he touched his wife with it, and that was the way of fulfilling his oath. He didn't have to break his oath, he fulfilled it, but also did not hurt his wife. Inna wajadnahu sabiran, we found him to be someone who was extremely patient. Ni'mal 'abdu innahu awwab, he was an excellent servant of Allah, and he turned back to Allah in difficult times. Again, the lesson here is Ayyub alayhi salam had this slip up. Happens with people, especially when people are sick. We have to be understanding of that. Ayyub alayhi salam's wife was super supportive. She sacrificed a lot. And that is an amazing thing. That's something that is to be celebrated. That's something that should increase the love between the husband and the wife. Prophet ﷺ says about the person who takes care, about the person rather who visits a sick person. The Prophet ﷺ says that the one, ma min muslimin, ma min muslimin يعود مسلما غدوة إلا صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يمسي وإن عاده عشية إلا صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يصبح. A Muslim who visits another Muslim that is sick in the morning, 70,000 angels pray for him until the evening. And likewise, for the one who visits in the evening, 70,000 angels pray for him until it is morning. Okay? وَكَانَ لَهُ خَرِيفٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ And he has a garden in paradise. This is the reward of just visiting a person who's sick. Okay? How much more do you think is the reward for the person who is actually sick? They're just being patient in their sickness. How much more, almost uncountable reward, is for the person taking care day in and day out of a sick person. That, for us folks, is the example from the life of Ayyub alayhi salam, that his wife, she was there. She is the one not just visiting him, she is taking care of him, sacrificing everything she has for her husband. And that's an amazing level of sacrifice that is to be celebrated. And patience is sought, you know, we're taught to become people who understand and develop a strength of character through these incentives that our Prophet has provided us. That when we take, just visit a sick as he was the one who really showed what it means to be patient. He was extremely patient, alayhi salam. As-Sa'di says, ذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ Allah made him a reminder for the ones who worship. أي جَعَلْنَاهُ عِبْرَةً لِلْعَابِدِينَ He is a reminder for those who want to be devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And فَإِذَا رَأُوا مَا أَصَابَهُ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ ثُمَّ مَا أَثَابَهُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ زَوَالِهِ نَظَرُوا السَّبَبُ وَجَدُوهُ الصَّبْرُ Very beautiful conclusion. He says, if people think and they ponder on the story of Ayyub, they look at the trial he went through. He went through an immense, intense, long difficulty. Lost his family, lost his wealth, lost his health, literally nothing left except him and his wife and him able to speak. And his wife lost everything too. She couldn't even work, had to shave her hair to support her husband. And what they see, if people observe the situation, what you find is this couple was patient. They were patient. They remained in a state of understanding that Allah is going to bring some good, and this is not all bad, and the hope is all not lost. This is going to get better. That's what we find. That's the attitude that we find, as-sabr. And that's why Allah says about him, inna wajadnahu sabira. We found him to be steadfast, someone who is able to hold on. And that's why he is an example for us, particularly those of us who are sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to seek cure seek cure for the diseases that we are struck with. We ask Allah to give cure to those who are sick. Allahumma shfi mardana wa marad al muslimin. Allah give shifa to those who are sick. Wa afi mubtalana wa mubtala al muslimin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of those who are in a tight spot. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the patience, the beautiful patience of our Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, who in the moments of difficulty kept steady, steadfast, thankful until Allah brought relief. We ask Allah to give us this kind of mindset. We ask Allah to allow us to make up for our mistakes, because we're humans, we're going to have slip-ups. We ask Allah to reward those who take care of the sick immensely, without reward, without record, without limit, May Allah reward them for taking care of those who are sick. And we ask Allah, like the Prophet said to his uncle Abbas, Salallahu al-afwa wal-afiyya. We ask Allah for good health and well-being. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan for attending. I just wanted to quickly plug something before I end, which is the Arabic program that I teach for Al-Kawthar, alhamdulillah, called Steps to Arabic. You can find more details about it at stepstoarabic.alkawthar.org. Alhamdulillah, we've been running this program for almost 6 months now. We're towards the end of the program. If you are, or if you know somebody who is a bit more of an advanced student of Arabic, we still have some spots open for them to join us. Inshallah ta'ala, you can find more details. There's an assessment that will tell you how much you know and whether you are able to join this level, all on the website. stepstoarabic.alkawthar.org is the site. Please go check it out. And inshallah, if you're not able to join us on April 6th, keep an eye out, inshallah, for September when we open up registrations for level one for all people. As long as you know the alphabet, inshallah, you can be with us and we'll, inshallah, learn together and learn the Quran in its native language so we can understand the words of Allah. And these lessons and these blessings will then become available and accessible to us all. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ.